It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We check in on manufacturing in Wisconsin. Data from the Labor Department, it indicates our state employs right around 475,000 people in manufacturing. It's a workforce showing recovery to pre-pandemic levels. Call in with questions about this sector, your experiences, they're welcome as well, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jared Steigenberger is president of Bassett Mechanical, based in Kakana. Jared, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. And Ben Bertram is owner of Fiberglass Solutions in Green Bay. Ben, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Ben, let's start with you. There is sentiment out there for manufacturers that it's still a rough road. It's still difficult to find workers. What is your situation with labor?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, personally, in our business, we're doing pretty well, but it is difficult to find workers. And from what we're seeing, you know, there's the shortage of employees in the state and in the nation really isn't going to change anytime soon. I've done a lot of research, gone to a lot of seminars recently, just kind of talking about the economy and everything we're seeing. And the reality is we aren't making more workers every day. So we're kind of, what we're seeing now is going to be the future for the next anywhere from 5, 10, 15 years. So it's definitely a changing landscape.
Ben, can you briefly explain the skill sets your workers bring to the job and help us visualize what you manufacture, how you fit into the fiberglass marketplace?
Certainly. So we manufacture commercial and industrial fiberglass. It's called fiberglass reinforced plastic, FRP. So if I use that term, that's what most people refer to as fiberglass. So our employees are skilled in the fabrication of fiberglass, working with the resins and the fiberglass to make the FRP products. We do a lot in the state of Wisconsin and the United States in the dairy industry. We manufacture walls and ceiling systems for the dairy plants. We manufacture brine systems for making cheese. We do a lot in the wastewater and water industry, servicing fiberglass tanks. And we also do a lot in the paper industry with fiberglass piping, tanks, and anything else, FRP, that needs to be serviced.
I was thinking of you yesterday as we had some insulation installed, and I was wondering, I wonder if this is Ben's fiberglass product.
No, and we don't deal with that on the fiberglass side. We do own another business that does fiberglass insulation on pipe and duct, but on the fiberglass manufacturing side, we do not make the insulation. We're more commercial industrial parts, service and repair, and then we do a lot of custom build stuff as well.
Well, Jared, over to you. Bassett Mechanical, it's at a different scale with about 550 workers. Can you talk about your HR situation?
Yeah, I echo Ben's comments. The labor challenges and shortages are probably here to stay. I mean, it's a combination of maybe, you know, less people going into the manufacturing trades, and the demand for our services is increasing. So it's kind of the double storm, so to speak. We've done a pretty good job. Our trade labor comes from two different unions, and we've done a pretty good job of filling our open positions, but definitely that has always been a challenge. And, you know, filling some of our technical positions that support our manufacturing operations, whether it's engineers or technicians, has always been a challenge as well. But we're out there aggressively recruiting talents. We're stressing our people-centric culture when we're talking to prospective candidates. And we've really invested in training and developments as kind of, you know, to really try to draw people to Bassett Mechanical.
And can you take us inside your operations as well, inside your plant and the services that you're providing in these contracts?
Yeah, our manufacturing operations, we focus on, we're doing heavy, I would say heavy fabrications, welding, assembly. We're making vessels, pipe fabrications, sheet metal ducting, large industrial ducting systems, skid packages, which are, you know, fairly complex. So our labor is skilled labor. The good thing again is our partnerships with our unions, they go through an apprenticeship program. And so they're working while they're getting really good training. So we have really talented, skilled labor. It's just a matter of trying to find folks to fill those open seats.
How long have you had that relationship with the unions?
It's been for many, many years, decades. Mm. And we have a really good collaborative relationship with our unions, which is very helpful in these tight labor markets.
Will you make machinery? I'm curious. Will you make machinery to make semiconductors? I'm not sure if you got that memo that there's that global chip shortage, you know?
Well, we experienced the chip shortage quite heavily here in the last year.
Oh, really? Okay.
In our construction business, in our manufacturing plant feeds our large construction jobs with prefabrications. And then we're also selling fabrications to outside external customers. But we do a lot of controls work. And in that controls work, to control the systems that we're installing at customer sites, we're relying heavily on chips and electronic components. And we felt that pain a year ago. That's come back a little bit for us, where it's more, I would say, more normal. But that definitely was part of our business that we had to work through.
Well, let me reintroduce you both here for a moment as we talk about the state of our Wisconsin manufacturing industry. And we have a couple company leaders giving us more of a ground level view. Jared Steigenberger is president of Bassett Mechanical. We've been just chatting with him. Ben Bertram is here as well, owner of a fiberglass company in Green Bay. You can join in the conversation about manufacturing, questions you have. Maybe you want to talk about apprenticeships. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm just curious from both of you, as before we move on from staffing, I'm wondering, Ben, could you handle more contracts if you had a larger staff, or are you trying, you know, to bring in more work, or do you feel like you're at the right place?
That's a great question. We are actually, I feel we could handle more work if we had, you know, additional employees. But what I would say is we aren't necessarily turning down work. But I mean, what we really try to do at Fiberglass Solutions is make sure that we balance our employees' lifestyle. It's really important for us to make sure that they've got a good lifestyle outside of work, not just at work. And so in doing so, we manage to try and maintain a 40-hour work week for our employees. And there's always overtime, and there's always people who want overtime. But we do our best to make sure that we're giving them a good balanced lifestyle. So at this point, we haven't been turning away work. Unfortunately, what happens is our lead times get longer if we can't produce quite as quickly. But it's one of those things. If you're not growing, you're dying. So you're always trying to grow. You want to make sure that you're bringing in new work so that you can keep the jobs for the people, keep good jobs for the people. So it's a challenge for sure. We definitely fight with that on a daily basis. Do we go after more work heavily? Do we just kind of stay where we're at and grow slowly? It's something we as business owners battle with. And definitely, if we had more employees out there, I think we'd definitely be going more aggressively at new business. But for now, we're kind of filtering it and scaling it gradually so that we can make sure that new employees get trained properly in how to manufacture fiberglass and make sure that we don't overwhelm our current workforce.
Jared, any thoughts there on managing growth and contracts and you know, growing at what you feel is a reasonable pace?
Yeah, I almost could just say ditto to what Ben said. At Bassett, we really focus on intentional growth, and it really is finding that balance between, you know, the opportunities we pursue. Do we have the resources to meet the expectations of our customers? And then, as Ben said, we really are cognizant of how much stress we're putting on our employees. The last couple of years, we've really grown our business. We've hit record levels. We've been very fortunate to be able to recruit and bring people into our offices. But as Ben said, we're in the exact same spot as his company. Every day, we're looking at, should we pursue this or should we not pursue this opportunity based on our resources? And so we're definitely not turning work away. We're also out there aggressively pursuing work, but it's a real fine line and a balance, because you have to really be conscious of, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to meet that customer's expectation. And that comes to having the right resources in place to do that. So it's a real balance for us as well.
Jared Steigenberger and Ben Bertram, they lead Wisconsin companies in industrial machinery manufacturing and fiberglass sectors. As we get a ground level look at industry in our state, what they're grappling with, call in with questions about aspects of manufacturing that you're curious about, issues on your mind like skill sets and automation, industrial capacity, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here as we get this economic outlook on manufacturing in Wisconsin. Two company leaders who have insights into their sector. Call in with your questions about manufacturing. Maybe it's related to skills training or technology, industrial capability, supply chain issues at your facility. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jared Steigenberger is president of a Kaukauna-based industrial machinery manufacturing firm, Custom Fabricator. And Ben Bertram owns a fiberglass company in Green Bay. I want to turn now to the education pipeline and workforce and how that's going. Because last year, we talked about this Harvard Business School study that found the relationship between our community colleges and our employers is strained. And we talked with Morna Foy, who's president of Wisconsin's technical college system, and she talked about that assessment from Harvard and says the relationship strain started decades ago. Let's listen.
Business and educators and leaders of community college settled into a comfortable low-level equilibrium. And everyone believes that that low-level equilibrium is fine. Well, the reality is, over the last two decades, automation has come in like a huge force and completely changed the nature of many middle skills positions.
Actually, that was not Morna Foy, but I want to get your reaction, Ben Bertram. What do you feel is the relationship like in education and community colleges, especially with your workers?
Another great question. And something I think we're very fortunate to have up in the Green Bay area is NWTC, Northeast Wisconsin Tech. And I think they're doing a great job in working to get with local manufacturers and determine, you know, what are the training programs that they need in order to train employees properly to go out into the workforce. And with Green Bay area being so heavy in manufacturing, I think it's really critical that we look at this as a great opportunity to partner with them and work on developing skill sets for our labor. Now, fiberglass in general, I don't believe we have much of a program at the trade school level. There are some larger fiberglass manufacturers in the area. However, it's one of those that maybe not necessarily it warrants having programs there yet to help out. I know some other companies have looked into it. But specifically when she was talking about the metal side of things, and I'm sure Jared can speak better to that, but there's a ton of opportunity for students and kids to get into the trade schools and learn a trade. And I think they're doing a better job now partnering. And I think we even need to get back deeper before I went to a presentation the other day and in talking about when do we start to get kids introduced to this idea of trade schools as being okay. I think for years and years, our parents drilled into us that we needed to go to college and college was the answer. And right now, to be perfectly honest, there are some fantastic paying jobs where you can make excellent careers in manufacturing, excellent careers. And people haven't quite shifted that mindset at home yet. And I think we really need to focus not so much as getting to the kids and children once they're in high school to tell them about trade schools. I think we need to do it at a parent level. We need to get down to the parents and say, hey, these are opportunities for our kids that are great opportunities for your child to be successful and earn a great living and make a great career out of it and really get ahead of it earlier in the game so that they realize that trade schools are a great option once they get to high school. Unfortunately, I feel like once they're in high school, they almost have an idea where they're going. Most kids do. Hmm. So it's kind of an interesting take. I think we need to get a little further back so that we realize that these trade schools we do have in Wisconsin, which I feel we have a great trade school program, are a very viable option for a successful future.
Jared, what is it like at Bassett as you work with community colleges? Do you feel, and tech schools, do you feel like you have that relationship established?
Yeah, we're fortunate. We have a really strong relationship with NWTC up in Green Bay, and then here in the Fox Valley Technical College. In fact, we sit on some of their committees to help influence, for instance, in our HVAC service technician and their programs. So a lot of our technicians will do that two-year technical degree, and then they'll come to Bass Mechanical and enter the five-year apprenticeship. So we have good relationships with our technical colleges. Once again, our unions, very strong relationship with our unions. One thing that's really interesting is, you know, the message before talked about automation. Well, in our industry, there's a lot of technology and change that we're adapting. And we're going from 2D designs to 3D virtual designs. Well, that changes the skill sets of our trade labor employees. And in partnership with our unions, they're changing their classes and their curriculum to kind of meet the change in technology and automation. My last comment kind of dovetails with what Ben said, is we have a strong youth apprenticeship program where we're partnered with the union. The state provides guidance and assistance on that, and we're getting into the high schools and hiring high school students, boys and girls that are coming to work for Bass Mechanical and learning about the trades, and then gives them, you know, kind of a rotational experience at Bass. So when they're thinking about where they want to go after high school, they're getting exposure to the trades and the goodness. And as Ben said, these are very well-paying jobs with great benefits, and you can have a wonderful career in the trades.
It sounds like you have to be very aggressive and start very early in your recruiting efforts.
Yes, and you need partnerships, as you alluded to, partnerships with the technical colleges, partnerships with our unions, and then truthfully, our people are our best ambassadors. They're all promoting what they do for a living in the community.
Talking about the state of Wisconsin's manufacturing industry with a pair of company leaders, Ben Bertram owns a Fiberglass Solutions in Green Bay. Jared Steigenberger is president of Bassett Mechanical. You can join in, 800-642-1234. We heard from Kathy in Dodgeville, emailed asking, why doesn't anyone talk about the possibility of hiring immigrant labor to fill manufacturing jobs that are vacant? Kathy says many people want to come into this country for the opportunities that it offers and are being denied that opportunity. What about immigrant labor in this, in this sector, Ben?
Well, I think immigrant labor has been a part of the United States history from the very start. I mean, you've always had immigration as a major force in the workforce, whether it be from when the country started until now. I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on immigration laws and standards and everything else, but obviously we have a way to get legal immigration. And I think absolutely, if you look at our workforce in America, as we stated before, it's not growing. We're kind of going to sit at this level for the next 10, 15 years. It's kind of the way it is. So yes, we do have to look at other options for where does the workforce come from? And legal immigration, I think, is a great way to do it. There's plenty of opportunities. And again, these opportunities aren't going away anytime soon. I think you run into a lot of political issues. And again, I'm no expert in immigration reform and immigration policies. But legal immigration absolutely would be a great asset to manufacturing.
Jared, and just a quick follow-up here, because when you did mention automation, I wanted to ask you, there is that fear that robots are replacing open manufacturing positions in Wisconsin. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I'm not sure if they're replacing them. I think something I read an article recently that there's a major manufacturing skills gap, I think over $2 million unfilled jobs. So I'm not sure if they're replacing. I wouldn't look at it as people are going to lose jobs. It would just help to fill the void of jobs that go unfilled. We see our automation actually is helping us grow our business. And so we don't look at it as a replacement, but it's a growth vehicle to expand our ability to grow the business and then maybe fill some gaps for positions that otherwise would go unfilled. So I don't look at it as a direct competition to replacing a human being. It supplements growth and addresses that skills gap that's out there. And as we talked about early on, we're going to be in this labor shortage for quite some time.
We are almost out of time here, but I want to ask you, and Ben, just as you look at inflation and the impact of inflation, are you concerned about an economic slowdown?
I think we always have to be prepared for an economic slowdown. I don't think we've necessarily seen it yet. Americans still have a lot of disposable income that they can spend, and markets are still up because of it, and people don't seem to be shying away from spending it just yet. I think there definitely will be a slowdown. I think it's something as business owners we all prepare for, and we have to plan for it. But we will see some sort of a slowdown, but for now it still really appears to be going strong, especially in Northeast Wisconsin.
Jared, any final thoughts here in the last few seconds on inflation?
Yes, same for us. We're seeing a really strong 2023. There's a little cautiousness by our customers as they're grappling with higher costs and a little bit of slowdown their demand. But overall, we feel it's still pretty robust economic activity here in Wisconsin.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Kay. It was great to be on.
Ben Bertram is owner of Fiberglass Solutions in Green Bay. Jared Steigenberger, president of Bassett Mechanical in Kaukauna. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.